President Obama came into office with high hopes and the generosity of $20 billion in aid to bolster the U.S. relationship with Pakistan. The president saw Pakistan as crucial to the stability of the region, crucial to the war in Afghanistan that he was about to escalate, and crucial in the fight against terrorism and Osama bin Laden. But in the end, the president had to order an airstrike on Pakistani territory to take out bin Laden, who'd been hiding there. Pakistan has proved more a complication rather than an asset in the war in Afghanistan, and Pakistan's own war with the Taliban has kept the country unstable and relatively weak as a regional power. Joining us is Christine Fair, author of Fighting to the End, The Pakistan Army's Way of War. She's also a professor at Georgetown University. Christine, welcome back to the program.
Oh, thank you for having me. I always love being on your program.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the legacy here, the Obama legacy. I mean, you write that the Pakistanis have really perfected the art of playing the U.S. card and dealing with the relationship, particularly the less skilled diplomats coming in different administrations. One of the people you cite even described it as the perfected art of the guilt trip. Do you think that was successfully played on the Obama administration here?
I don't think it's so much the case of the Obama administration. Obama came in really disliking Pakistan. I mean, all of the evidence suggests that he very much understood that the real problem was in Pakistan. However, what he shared with the Bush administration, and the Bush administration very much suffered from this, the folks in the Bush administration had absolutely no clue about U.S.-Pakistan relations. The Pakistanis were able to repeatedly sell a very fictionalized, or more generously, a highly stylized version of U.S.-Pakistan relations that they were able to then leverage into things like F-16s and a really enormous military support package. Obama came in. His problem is that he really didn't know how to deal with the military. And I would argue, and by military, I mean our military. I think you saw this evidence yesterday in his announcement that was very much a reversal from his preferred position of zero troops in Afghanistan. He's now coming up with what looks to be the commander of ISAF's preferred position of a little under 10,000 troops. He pretty much had to cave to this notion of the surge in Afghanistan. And the problem with the surge in Afghanistan is that it didn't recognize why we were losing the war. And we were losing the war because Pakistan was taking our money, supporting the Taliban and killing our troops. Pakistan's Special Services Group, which is their commandos, actually trained the Afghan Taliban, and according to some of my friends who are special operators in the U.S. military, even fight with the Taliban. Mm-hmm. So the problem with the surge is that it completely misdiagnosed the problem, which was Pakistan.
What would you say is going on right now in Pakistan in terms of the Taliban? The military has created a monster that's now in the middle of infighting and declaring itself independent, and all kinds of different Taliban factions fighting for the overthrow of the Pakistani government.
Yeah, so actually, one important caveat to this is that the Pakistanis, they're almost like Republicans in their ability to create neologisms. Like, for example, who's not opposed to tax relief at first blush, right? The Pakistanis are the masters of inventing this kind of language. And what they've been able to do is to create this confusion that all Taliban are the same, that the Taliban that are fighting the Pakistani state are the same Taliban that are fighting us in Afghanistan. And that's absolutely not the case. It is true that they share certain ideological alliances, but the Pakistan Taliban are absolutely not the same thing as the Afghan Taliban. The Pakistan Taliban, they have a different origin. Their backbone are groups that have historically fought in Indian Kashmir. And the Pakistan Taliban is very much the product of backlash, whereby the Pakistani military and its intelligence agency, the ISI, raised a whole slew of militant groups that were supposed to try to harass the Indians into making some concessions on Kashmir. And for a variety of reasons, after 9/11 and then President and General Musharraf's decision to align with us, they began turning against the state. Now, this is interesting because this just goes to show how completely disastrous U.S. policy is towards the region. We've been, now just so you know, the new aid figures is $30 billion, $30 billion to Pakistan since 9/11. And what the Pakistan Army is trying to do in its negotiations with the Pakistan Taliban is that it wants them to go to Afghanistan, where it will continue to kill us, our allies, and Afghans. So how perverse is this? That, you know, we've just agreed to keep 10,000 troops in Afghanistan to continue stabilizing that country and so that we don't see an immediate reversal of gains, when the Pakistan army is ever more redoubled upon its own policy of trying to persuade its own Taliban to fight us in Afghanistan. If someone can tell me how this makes sense, I will give anything to them, because this is absolute insanity. But this is our policy.
Finally, what do you think of the Modi era, the idea that there is a regional power base and there is a charismatic leader who is making overtures to Pakistan right now?
Modi is a very interesting turn of events. Now, I want to say very clearly that I am not a fan of his communal politics in a country like India that has such a large percentage of Muslims, that you have someone with such a communal past is very, very disturbing. Having said this, his party that he represents, the BJP, has been much more muscular on foreign policy. I anticipate that Modi, being the strong man, is in a position to be much more amenable to some kind of negotiations with Pakistan. But if the past is any predictor of the future, I see the Pakistan army being very aggressive and undermining any kind of potential for peace.
Well, an interesting moment with Modi, at least at this point, with the upper hand right now. Christine Fair, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Christine Fair is the author of Fighting to the End, The Pakistan Army's Way of War, and she's a professor at Georgetown University.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.